Hey, folks, welcome to a very special WSB Traffic Podcast done virtually once again to just keep COVID protocols kosher and everything like that. Usually when we have these big traffic shows, we get our dignitaries in the studio, and Smiley Mark McKay and I myself, Doug Turnbull, we get to be in the studio and actually see each other too. And that's not happening so much either, but welcome. We're glad to have you all. And Smiley, we want to bring in, like I said, a distinguished guest, someone we've spoken with before plenty of times on 95.5 WSB.
Yes, and the one thing we missed besides seeing our guests in person, the food that also comes with generally doing in studio, right?
Usually one of us is showing up with some carbs, for sure.
Yes. Chris Tomlinson, State Road and Toll Authority, how have you been?
I've been good. It's great to see you guys at least virtually, and just looking forward to having a chance to talk about what we've been up to during the past year. And there's a lot more than just COVID to talk about.
A lot more. That's correct. So, but before we're really going to talk a lot about the Peach Pass today, but there is a whole element that I know just us, Smiley and I talk a lot about cars. I mean, yeah, we're in the helicopter, but you guys, CERTA, State Road and Toll Authority, there's also a whole other umbrella that goes under that. And it's this thing that even is tough for me as a traffic guy or Smiley as a traffic guy to define. And that's the ATL and transit and all that. So before we get to cars and express lanes, Peach Pass lanes, the app and all that, just real quick for listeners who are nerdy like us, what's the ATL and how does it fit with MARTA and other transit?
Sure. So the ATL, or the Atlanta Region Transit Link Authority, I'll let you guys decide which came first, the acronym or what it stood for. But it's our new regional transit planning authority. Covers a 13 county area. So it does include the MARTA counties. But this is about the state getting involved with transit and transit planning so we can have a more cohesive system. How it relates to MARTA. MARTA is an operator. MARTA represents over 95% of all transit trips happening in what we would consider Metro Atlanta. But there are other providers, Gwinnett, Cobb, the States Express, Douglas County, which, by the way, first new transit service in this region in 15 years. Right. So how do we tie these all together? Because the average customer shouldn't have to figure out the alphabet soup of agencies. And so we're planning to look at how we use the limited amount of federal and state dollars that are there. But we're really also working with all those providers to see if we can make it more seamless.
Hey, Chris, how has the cooperation been? And has it been truly user-friendly for the consumer or commuter, as it were?
The cooperation has been really good. You know, with anything new, people are wondering, well, what exactly is this going to mean? How are things going to be different? But to date, it's been very collaborative. And I'll give you a couple of examples. We have launched into a year-long fare policy study. And one of the things we're trying to figure out is, are there some ways so that if you know how to use MARTA, your fare card, or your fares can be used on Cobb or Gwinnett. So people don't have to figure it out. Right now, most of us use, say, the Breeze card, but it's really like a Breeze wallet, and you load all the separate products. So we're hoping that over time we can make it just one set of products. The other thing is we were able to highlight that we have free transfers between the Express service and MARTA, and we're working on ways to see if we can connect up for free transfers for other things. And then the last thing I would say is we've done a lot of planning together on COVID money that's come into the region. And like the latest tranche of about $34 million, it's all going into MARTA's system. Not because there aren't needs other places, but we looked at the percentage of money that came in the first go round and how much everyone got. And MARTA is the one agency that still had received, on a percentage basis, lower than their costs. So there's that type of collective planning direction of dollars.
Gotcha. That's fascinating stuff. And I know the ATL is only like 2 or 3 years, not even that. It's I'm losing track of time on it because I feel like we've lost a whole year during the pandemic when we would have seen out in the open a lot of this stuff going forward. And frankly, to the average person, transit is not nearly as top of mind as it was pre-2020. So I'm sure that's a challenge to just get people engaged in this. We saw at the MARTA vote in Gwinnett, that didn't go so hot. I mean, I'm sure that's tough.
Well, I'd say two things about that. You're right. People, it's not at the top of mind, and there are probably more pressing priorities, but now's still the great time to make the investment. Here's what we learned from COVID as it relates to transit. Even at what I'm going to say is the height of our lack of awareness back in April, you know, our numbers are higher then, but we know so much more now. But throughout this entire pandemic period, local bus service has maintained 50 to 60% of its ridership. People are relying on it even during the pandemic. A lot has been focused on the news about how train ridership on the MARTA train has been down in their neighborhood of 60 to 70% down. But there are still people relying on local bus service to get around. Now imagine when we're on the other side of this pandemic. We expect to see levels similar to what we had before, maybe higher. So now's the time to plan for that future.
I think that's great numbers.
And weren't we wondering about how commutes would change in this pandemic situation? We're coming out of it. We're starting to see the patterns change every day. Doug, as you fly in the afternoon, many more people in the afternoon than in the morning. Yep. Public transit always there for the people who don't choose to drive, don't choose to get on the train. They get on the bus. What have you attributed the bus ridership up more than the train, Chris?
I think these are people who are transit dependent. They may not have a car, or they have jobs that you just can't do from home. We saw a major hit to the hospitality industry, but there are still hotels that are open. The restaurant industry, and a lot of these folks are relying on transit to get there to provide these services for their customers. Then there's even people in the extended healthcare industry. It does include the doctors and nurses, but it's the lab techs. It's the messengers that are running test results and data and kits back and forth. They need to be somewhere at a certain time, and transit's still providing that reliable service for them.
That's fascinating stuff. And there are just a lot of people that don't have cars. I mean, and that's been one. I know one of the things, this is more of a MARTA thing, but which routes do we bring back as the roads, as things open up? Because there's some routes that still haven't opened yet because of demand or cost issues or whatnot. So that's a great look in there. And I think mass transit is a great way to transition into how to better efficiently drive in our little steel and rubber pods, our automobiles, because as much as numbers have trended down, of course, over the last year, there is no doubt that most people, even ones that I know that take the COVID deal very seriously, well, they don't feel like they're getting COVID if they're in their car and they need to go somewhere. They need to hit the store or something like that. And we're seeing a ton of automobile traffic, an increase in wrecks, and obviously a lot of delays. So how did the shutdown, how did the Peach Pass system, if you will, our express lanes, our hot lanes, as they're called on the 85 corridor, how did that ride the roller coaster? What was it like in the further past, the nearer past, and how are we looking now?
Yeah, great question. It's been a roller coaster. So going all the way back to mid-March, early April of 2020, we saw our trips decline to approximately 50% of normal or pre-COVID levels in mid-March. By the time we hit April, those declines had continued, and we hit an all-time low of about 82% reduction in trips in the lanes. So that was like the week of April 5th. And that corresponded to toll revenue dropping by 90% at that time. But that was the peak of the bottom of the trough, if you will. Since then, trips have increased on a slow but steady pace month over month. We finished our fiscal year 2020, which ended last June, with about a 20% decline in trips from what we had forecasted, about a 28% decline in revenue. Today, trips and revenues have rebounded to about 60% of normal levels. So it fluctuates anywhere from about 50% of pre-COVID levels up to a high of about 70%. But there's lots of factors, Doug, school and holidays, for example.
Do you think, Chris, that tolls and use of toll lanes for people in North Georgia and Metro Atlanta specifically is becoming an acquired taste where, you know what, I may not need it. I probably don't need it. Then all of a sudden, bam, all through lanes are shut down and they're watching those folks in the express lanes go by. Has it been an acquired taste? And have you seen an increase in the folks in the outlying areas from downtown Atlanta really adapting to this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I've been doing this since the Georgia 400 days. And I remember when I-85 first opened, which was all the way back in 2011. So we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary mark.
Captain Herb, rest his soul, and Mark Ehrman, I remember being in the couple of meetings with you and the then executive director of CERTA, Gina Evans. Yeah, you're really having to tell us the business about what was going on with that. Yes.
There's some interesting days. There's some good stories for another podcast. Interesting town hall meetings. But, you know, Mark, to your question, I think it has become an acquired taste. People are used to them. We've learned a lot of lessons. You know, if you remember all the controversy back then, it was about the conversion of the lane. Every single project that we've opened since then, which has been three more toll roads, have all been new capacity or adding new lanes. And I think people get that we just added another choice and people are using it. But to put it into terms of some numbers, when I-85 opened 10 years ago, we saw daily trips of about 7,500 trips per day. Today, that same lane sees about 30,000 trips per
Holy
day.
Holy cow.
So it's really jumped a lot. And actually, that 30,000 was pre-COVID. So we're probably somewhere between the 15 to 20,000 mark per day now and still growing. So
that's a taste. And then in 2017, when the Henry County Express lanes first opened, we really want to take a deeper dive on those because I know those might have the potential to really save a lot of people more time than they expect. But when those first opened, I feel like that was people barely getting in their toes in the water. How has, in just literally only 4 years since the Southside Metro Express lanes opened, how have they grown?
So opened in January 2017, so three and some change in years. So last year, we saw 3 million trips, in that lane. And let me put that in perspective. The whole system last year saw just under 21 million trips, which is still hard to imagine. But 3 million of those were in the 75 South lanes. And what we're seeing right now is the usage is quickly climbing back up to where it was pre-COVID. But we're also seeing something else, a new phenomena. The congestion in the South has come back much more quickly in the corridor, or what we call the general purpose lanes. And the reason for that is the increase in freight or truck traffic. You know, you were asking about the ATL earlier. A year ago when I was talking about the ATL, I was talking about how all these electric scooters popped up out of nowhere. Now it's these Amazon Prime trucks. You know, a year ago you didn't see them. Now they're everywhere. So I'm not blaming Amazon, but because there's a lot of heavy trucks or tractor trailers, but it has just picked up. Russell McMurray, who you guys know, his staff pulled the stats. Truck traffic is now higher than its pre-COVID levels in that corridor. It's about 105% of where it was pre-pandemic. And that's actually more people in their passenger cars are starting to take the toll lanes. Some people, it's just to get away from the truck traffic, but some is just for the lack of predictability of that congestion.
And so let's explain then what the point of the lanes are. In 2011, again, like pulling teeth, it was like a root canal. Some people felt like in Gwinnett County, oh my God, you're taking away my free lane for a pay lane. And the thing that got hammered home to us then that we've seen even play out even better and the express lanes that have been added as added capacity is the ability to maintain flow, right? So Can you lay that out for people, whether it's the separate express lanes or whether it's the high occupancy toll lanes in the northeast sides, the point of them as it relates to traffic, not just revenue?
Yeah, the whole point of express lanes is give you a choice to either have, one, a more consistent trip, so day in, day out, you can pretty much factor in your time to get from point A to point B, and then also to have a lane that tends to flow better, which often means faster than the adjoining lanes. People don't use them necessarily every single day, but for example, I-85 traffic tends to flow anywhere from 2.5 to almost 10 miles per hour faster than the other lanes. I-75, 6 miles per hour to 18 miles per hour faster, and oftentimes faster than that. We don't go into some of the speed data that we're seeing, but those who use it love it, and they know why.
Let me ask you, Chris, back to the truck traffic and what commuters, those of us in our vehicles, contend with, like you said, battling, because everyone's ordering online, so it has to be delivered to our homes and these distribution centers. What would you say to commuters that would say, why don't the trucks have their own lanes, Chris?
I would say that's something that's a good point that we're exploring. We're working with DOT, and DOT is going to add some truck-only lanes. Notice I didn't say toll lanes, truck-only lanes from I-16 and 75 in Macon headed north towards Atlanta. And those lanes are supposed to come all the way up to right about where the 75 South lanes end. It's going to be really interesting to see how that works. If it works well, I can see DOT looking at others. I know I personally have heard people ask about doing the same thing all the way from Savannah all the way up to Macon, but maybe in some other areas as well.
All right. So that brings us into a great thing. And it's something that you all have wanted to highlight. We saw, as we speak, it's President's Day. Friday afternoon was hot garbage on the south side because people are getting that weekend started early. The express lanes can only be pointed in one direction on the south side. So the south had a little bit better traffic flow than the north. But I have personally, on a long weekend when I had to make a drive to Florida, benefited from those express lanes. And I don't drive on the south side very much, and I certainly don't get caught in delays there much. But that time I felt like a superhero with a cape on, driving for like a dollar or so. It was really cheap. It was in 2017 in those lanes. So what do you want to hammer home to people before we talk about how to use a Peach Pass? Maybe some of the perfect timing to use it, not just rush hour.
Not just rush hour, but I have done the same thing you have. 75 South is the road to Disney World and all things Florida, and some pretty key NASCAR races that I'm sure Doug's familiar with.
I miss going to Daytona this year, man. I tell you.
that lane is a time saver, and the way that one is set up, you can see what's happening in the other lanes. So yeah, let me take this opportunity to clear up one thing that leads to a lot of calls. Like you said, it can only be pointed in one direction. We added two lanes in any given direction that it's focused on, and there's three non-toll lanes. So whatever direction that's pointed in tends to work well, and the opposite direction is packed. And we get all these calls that you have it in the wrong direction. But if we turned it, that direction works well, and the other one is packed. We can't really win, but we do try to look at spring break patterns, especially pre-COVID. We look at special events like NASCAR events, either at Atlanta Motor Speedway or obviously all the way in Florida. And all that factors into which direction.
And then if people want to become a part of this here, because I think that this, we want to educate people and give you some life hacks in traffic. I can't give you a life hack. Smiley could give you a life hack on weight loss. We could both give you, all three of us could give a life hack on traffic. Okay. Yeah. So if someone's wanting to plan it out, and let's say they need to figure out, oh, hey, are the lanes going in the direction I'm going and what time? And then how do I even get a Peach Pass? Can we go over some of the steps? Because most people still don't have them.
So a couple of things. We encourage everyone to download our Peach Pass Go 2.0 app. And one of the new features in the app is you can pull up the actual toll rate and toll rate signs. And so that'll also, because since they'll show you close, you can tell which direction. So that information is published right in the app, and it's also on the website. But we encourage people to get the app, if for no other reason than just to have real-time information about the rates and which direction the lanes are in. In general, the two reversible lanes, 75 South and Northwest Corridor, we try to have them focused in the mornings, headed towards downtown, and in the afternoons, they're focused away. And the magic time for switching is generally around noon each day. They reverse again in the middle of the night around 11 p.m. But that's what you have to think about. Which way would, certainly pre-COVID, would commuter traffic be going? That's how those work. But as I said, on 75 South, we've been experimenting with special events. And we get the apps because we're sending out notices. We're using social media to get the word out as well.
Let me ask you about the unmitigated disaster that we had caused by that deadly chain reaction crash in Kennesaw last week. My phone was blowing up in the afternoon with commuters that I knew that were stuck in the general purpose lanes with that all lanes blocked terrible situation up there north of Barrett Parkway at Chastain Road. And they were wondering why the express lanes weren't operating. I don't know if you can speak to that specifically, but there are times that those lanes have to be closed for emergency vehicle use. I imagine in that situation, there was a fire involved. There was a bit of frustration that afternoon. Well, these are what the express lanes are made for to get me out of this, and they're not even working at this point. Can you speak to that at all, Chris?
Yeah, we take our cues from the first responders. I think some people would be surprised. We certainly do not try to set either the direction or the tolls based on what's happening with disasters. And then a lot of times, and especially not with the reversible ones, but like on I-85, you guys, I'm sure, have seen times where the lane will say open to all, and we're trying to use it as a relief valve. We have to be more careful when we do that on the reversible lanes. And the reason for that is people are creatures of habit. And if you try to reverse the lanes at an abnormal time than what they've experienced for the last 6 months or a year, some bad things could happen. And it's just, there's just still not some really good ways to try to get the word out. So we're very, very careful about when we do that, because we don't want to have any safety problems.
Let's know that 75 North crash, Smile and I both know, you know, it happened at about 11 a.m. So it happened pretty close to the switch time of the day. And it took until close to 5 p.m. or so. It was in the 5 o'clock hour before they could really fully open the express lanes. To people stuck in traffic who didn't even know what the crash was. They just knew 75 was shut down. They're wondering, why aren't the lanes open at my normal time at PM drive? But they also didn't know that it was a fiery crash that happened right next to the express lane. So I'm sure that was a safety measure too, just like when you guys close them when there's a chance of icing.
Yeah. And like I start off, we take our cues from the first responders and the police. If they need to use those lanes and keep them closed so they can have quicker access to the site, we're going to do that. Like I said, we work with them, and literally on I-85, we watch the cameras, and if we see the heroes or police directing people into the lanes, that's when it'll say open to all, or, you know, we turn off the violation system. Safety first, and first responders make their decisions on the ground. We don't want them thinking about toll policies.
It's been a long time. I like that. We don't want them thinking about toll policy. Exactly. Yeah, because it's people's lives are on the line. And we're here, by the way, if you've forgotten the last half hour or so, we're with CERTA Executive Director Chris Tomlinson, the guy that oversees a lot of the mass transit in the state of Georgia and helps oversee it and, of course, oversees our tolling system as well. Remember when there was just one of those smiling right next to your house on 400? That was a long time. That was way back. That was, it's only been 2013, but that feels like 100 years ago. I wanted to mention, so we've got the express lane system currently, and even when it opened in 2011, there were some pretty cutting edge things that Captain Herb and I, and I think Mark Aaron was with us when we saw behind the scenes too. We talk all the time, Smile and I brag on this podcast, brag on the air and on social media about our 24-hour, the Cool Ray Heating and Air 24-hour traffic center. Serta is not just an automation, right? You talked about live monitoring. Can you get geeky with me and talk a little bit about the behind the scenes?
Yeah. So, you know, our highway system is 24/7, 365. And so we monitor these lanes 24/7, 365. We have now co-located in the traffic management center with DOT. You may recall when we first started, we had it separate, but especially once we were going
to – It was like a conference room in a – you know, the TMC's in East Atlanta and you guys were downtown. It was like a little conference room. But so you're now off of United Avenue then?
Yes, we're off of United Avenue because even though these systems are well connected and there's all types of redundancy, you know, the best computer is still the human brain. So we have all these systems that will tell us when the lane is switching, what direction. But we like knowing that our toll operators, that's what we call them, are sitting right next to GDOT's gate operators, and they can say, hey, is it up or it's down or what have you. And so we all sleep really well at night. But it's a 24/7 facility. We're there. You know this, that it also serves as the location for the emergency management center when we need it. And so it just we're literally at ground zero, if you will. But yeah, there's still a wall of monitors and these computers going. And the other thing that those operators can do, there's all this sophisticated algorithms that set pricing and all that. But they have the ability to override those, like when we have these emergency events. So it's still a pretty neat operation to watch. And hopefully sometime in the near future, you can come back out and see how it's grown.
We'd love to go do that.
Hey, Chris, I think you just did an inadvertent promo for the Triple Team Traffic Alerts app. The best computer is the human brain is where, like you, staff 24/7. Doug's going to lift that probably and spotlight that. But it is important to know and let the commuters know, let the drivers know who are out there. It's a 24/7 community. It's a 24/7 business world we're in. You're there around the clock. Your people are there around the clock. We are, and we're all working in coordination to keep people moving in the worst of times sometimes.
Well, I want to continue the promo. I can't stress how much we rely on the crowdsourcing impact that you have with your app and with I'm blocking on the name, what you call your traffic reporters.
The traffic troopers, yeah.
Traffic troopers, yes.
Yeah.
The people, the
original crowdsourcing, right, Smiley? Like from the 1990s, before we knew what a smartphone was, they would just call us. Yes.
And so it's a critical point to how we do things because, again, we have all these sensors, but people are going to notice things that might happen in between these sensors, and that factors into the work we do too.
So there are different phases of this tolling system, and I want to speak later on about what we will see in the future. But there are two different kinds of lanes. Like I'm getting very elementary here. In 2011, when these opened, it was under a federal grant, if I remember correctly. So there were certain specs that the I-85 lanes that ran from Chamblee-Tucker to Lawrenceville-Swanee had to fit, from Shalifer, depending on the direction, had to fit. And then there's the express system that are totally built, separate capacity, but even different requirements for each. Now we've seen the I-85 lanes extend all the way up to it's Hamilton Mill. Yeah, to Hamilton Mill. The 75 system on both sides of town at 575, it's different regulations. So what is the difference fundamentally between the 2011 lanes and then the ones we started seeing in 2017?
Okay. So from our perspective, we have four express lane facilities. A lot of people think it's only three because of what you just mentioned, this 10-mile extension on I-85. But let's go ahead and break them down. So I-85, the original one, it's about 15 miles long, one lane in each direction, and that is our hot lane facility. That coupled with the I-85 extension added 10 more miles onto it. Now, what does that mean? It's a high occupancy toll lane. It's open for passenger vehicles, but if you have a registered account and you have three or more people in your vehicle, you can use it toll-free. If you have an electric vehicle, those can go toll-free, and motorcycles have to go toll-free. You still need to have a Peach Pass first, but all those can go toll-free. And the other thing that goes toll-free is all public transit vehicles. So that's how that one works. The remaining roads, so the Northwest Corridor lanes that are running from Marietta up to Cherokee County, and 75 South are what we call ETLs in the business, or express toll lanes. Fancy name that just means that all vehicles that are eligible to use it pay the toll. We don't have the carpool exception. And the question I sometimes get is, why is that? The data has shown that people here don't tend to carpool as much. The incentive hasn't really resulted in less people. So it's actually simpler to just go ahead and toll everybody and try to manage the demand to use the lanes.
Gotcha. So. That's very – and they're separate managed lanes too. You can't go in and out of them as easily – well, I don't want to say easily like it's bad, but you can't just drift in and out of them as much as you can on 85. You're pretty well committed. They're express lanes. That's why the name is express in them, because you're taking a longer trip than you would – on the, say, the I-85 lanes and they're as they're originally built.
And that's a good point. I-85 has what we call just buffer separation, just fancy word for the dashed or solid lines. The other two have physical barrier separation, which means they have a lot of dedicated entrance points and access points. And that's factored into their usage. Even in the middle of the night, some people tend to use it because that's the closest highway entrance to them. Rather than traveling a little bit further to get to the general purpose lanes. But because it's separated and there's only key points you can either enter or access, they tend to flow better. They're easier to operate.
I do want to say, Chris, obviously the 85, that is on the ground. The south side, obviously, is at ground level. I have to say, it is an engineering marvel watching the construction process to where we are now along the Northwest Corridor from 285, the Cobb Cloverleaf, rolling up into Cherokee County and the elevated lanes. And now that it's all finished, and how I've been there up and down, and it's amazing to come 75 South. And you've got people in the northbound. If you're going, you know, southbound direction in the afternoon, you get people northbound on the right side. That's a bit odd. But just the engineering marvel and the work that went in to that project, and now to see it in completion and operating as well as it has, you have to be proud.
Very proud. I got two funny stories related to that. And first of all, I agree. Engineering marvel. And the engineers are coming up with some pretty innovative ideas to add new lanes on top end of 285 and on 400, and we'll come back to that. But yeah, two funny things. One, initially in social media when Northwest Corridor opened, there were some people calling it the toller coaster.
That's so right. I remember that.
Yeah, and we thought it was a great nickname, and it's high. It's at its highest point, it is actually one level higher than Spaghetti Junction. So it's up there. The second thing, also social media, toll, a lot of places is still a four-letter word. And but we've gotten positive, anonymous social media posts and tweets about Northwest Corridor and just how much it's helped people and changed their lives positively. And I guess the day I got positive, anonymous social media posts, that was a peak, and it's probably all downhill for me from there.
but we noticed morning and PM drive, Smiley Mark and I mean, I know you have the data to back it up, Chris, that those lanes, we're not getting paid to say this, all right? Those lanes definitely, because it's added capacity to a corridor that was really congested all morning and afternoon, and it definitely took a bite out of it for sure. And you know, of course, it's easy. The first week they opened, it was Labor Day or the day after Labor Day in 2018 when those opened. And, you know, it's easy to poke fun at the, oh, look, it's just one car at a time. Well, just as your numbers showed, with it increasing about four or five fold in 85 over a 10-year period or a 9-year period, on 75, people took to that like ducks on water because they were separate lanes. And it was a different sensation than in Henry County, because the population just isn't as high in Henry County. So there isn't quite as much congestion. But whatever little congestion there was on a normal day, not a travel Friday where it's slow both directions, but on a normal day, it took the bite right out of that Stockbridge Hudson Bridge merge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I-85 still sees the most usage of all the facilities. We had about 8.5 million trips in our fiscal year 20. Northwest Corridor, and that's been open 10 years. Northwest Corridor, 6.7 million trips And that's only been open since 2018. So it's the fastest growing of the lanes by far.
Well, let me ask you about during the pandemic, we would be flying and our traffic levels in the morning were low. And I would be mentioning to our pilot and videographer, why those folks are why are they using the express lanes? The through lanes are doing fine. But you really make a good point, Chris. The entrance points for a lot of those folks, let's again stay in the Northwest, in Marietta, it may be easier for them to get on the express lanes from their neighborhood than it would be to find the nearest exit to the general purpose lanes.
Yeah, people are doing it out of convenience. And then some like the safety. They like that there's less cars. They like that these particular lanes, you know, don't have heavy truck traffic, the tractor trailers. But we've seen that on I-85. We've had customers tell us, I ride in that lane all the time because I only have to watch for cars merging from one side. You know, they'd rather be close to the barrier wall. So there's different reasons that people use it. And then some, they're on autopilot. That's their lane. They just like being in it and they use it.
Hey, you mentioned that, and I want to get to how interchangeable the Peach Pass is becoming with other states, and then maybe even some outside companies that are trying to really streamline that, and then also talk about expansion for the hot lanes of the future, because you mentioned the north side of 285. But something that Commissioner McMurray mentioned to Smiley Mark and I, it's going on 3+ years now, and that's when he looked at back in, I think it was late 2017, the 10-year plan. He mentioned, and I don't know if he just had a wild hair. I think he meant something by it, though, that part of the reason for having these separate dedicated lanes, besides moving buses, besides having a better predictable trip for motorists, and the revenue aspect, I mean, that because that has to keep coming in to be able to maintain Georgia's road system. But you mentioned autopilot, the potential for autonomous vehicles proliferating through the 21st century, and maybe their initial rollout not being as much mixed into regular traffic. Is that anywhere on the priority list at all, or is that just an added bonus? How does that fit into your planning?
Yeah, looking at autonomous vehicles is – I wouldn't say it's on the priority list. It's on the list of what we would call sort of, I guess, R&D, research and design. Autonomous vehicles is something that we look at for the future to make sure that the – projects that we're building today don't do anything to preclude us from adding that technology when it's more mature. Toll roads are amongst the most instrumented roads. We have all types of sensors and cameras. So it makes them ideal for a potential test bed. And it also could be one of the first areas where when this technology is ready for prime time, where you first see it deployed. We're talking to commercial vehicle manufacturers who may do platooning or even passenger vehicles, because one of the things you might be able to do is more closely control these cars in a tight-knit platoon, but you can still have your safety. So
a platoon being like a train of individual vehicles that, because they're talking to each other, can ride right next to each other almost like a train. Is that...
That's exactly right.
Okay.
In a safe manner. So, you know, these vehicles aren't necessarily perfect. They're just better than most humans in terms of following the rules and being predictable. So I think you're going to see it, and I think you may see it in either commercial vehicles before you even see it more in it, I'm talking about full autonomy, than you will in, say, passenger vehicles.
And I wanted to clarify platooning just because there might be some people listening that are into that Oliver Stone movie thinking this is a whole warfare thing. And yeah, I just wanted to be, you know, it's a liability thing I want to cover there. All right, a couple more questions for you, Chris Tomlinson, Executive Director, State Road and Toll Authority, and Smiley, feel free to chime in as well. So we talked about the future with the current lanes we have, but that's only a growing interchangeable system here in the state. We're from the things I've read and seen, it looks like these lanes are not they're going to touch at some point almost all of the freeways in the Atlanta system. So can you, without, we got going too deep because people aren't going to remember a lot of numbers, but just talk about where in say the next 10 to 15 years we could expect to find the express type lanes that we have along 75 and on the north and south side.
Sure. Yeah, what we have today is going to grow. We are looking at adding new express lanes, new capacity, so not a conversion, but new capacity to what I call the entire upper hemisphere, upper half of I-285. So from I-20 headed out towards Six Flags, all the way up through Cobb, past 400, all the way down to I-20 on the east side, if you were headed, say, out to Stonecrest, as well as new lanes on 400. And the 400 lanes will be the first new lanes. They're scheduled to be built and then open by 2027. Those lanes will go from about where the North Springs MARTA station is and head north to the Forsyth County border. When we build the top end lanes, we'll do that last 4 miles from where North Springs is down to 285. And those lanes will then span out east and west, initially to Spaghetti Junction in I-75, but eventually all the way down to 20.
Let me talk about – go ahead, Doug.
Go ahead, Smiley.
All right, in the year of the pandemic and how commuting has changed, and we wonder what the future looks like now in terms of people going into the offices. What was the thought around both the Department of Transportation and in your department, State Road and Toll Authority, about – you say these projects are going forward – about the expectations of the roads staying, going back to the way they were pre-pandemic, and then the need for these express lanes going forward. If the way that we do our work changes and there's a lot more work at home as opposed to heading to the office.
So great question. And let me address this. It's almost as if I think people are forgetting how bad Atlanta traffic was before the pandemic. We don't need traffic to get back to the levels we were at before. If we were at about 85% of the traffic pre-pandemic, unfortunately, that's enough for congestion. And you mentioned it earlier. We're already seeing, you know, the morning rush hour is, when I say unpredictable, I mean in terms of if it's going to be light or not. And it's typically much, much more lighter. But we are definitely seeing that afternoon rush hour. It starts later, it ends sooner, but it's definitely there in between. So between the projected ongoing growth moving to Metro Atlanta, we're going to still add about 2 million people. So the population of Denver is going to be dropped into Metro Atlanta over the next decade or so.
Hopefully more sober.
Hopefully. But with that, we need these lanes more than ever. And now we're just getting to think about it and plan them differently. Put another way, Mother Nature, for good or for bad, cleaned out our congestion garage, at least for a while there. So we're moving forward with the projects, but we're trying to think, how do we keep them from getting as cluttered or as congested as fast as they did before? And we're making strides. But, yeah, we need them. And Commissioner McMurray has the data to show it. Traffic throughout Georgia is about 85%, in some places as high as almost 100% of their pre-pandemic levels, especially in the rural areas. Metro Atlanta is hovering around 80 to 85%. Only a little bit more traffic, and you're going to see that congestion come back. But it's different people. It's the commuters are different. The amount of truck traffic is different, but we still have congestion.
Right. And if the population continues to grow, like you said, I mean, you want to have the virtual aspect taking a little bit of heat off of the roads, but you still have to account for that. So with that population growth and also with a lot of people traveling, there's this thing, well, okay, these states all have different toll systems. And if you're maybe one of those truck drivers or somebody that has family that lives in Maryland and likes to drive instead of fly, and you got like, you don't necessarily these days have to have 16 passes stuck all over your windshield, right in your plane of view or something, right? So number one, you've gone from the Peach Pass app to Peach Pass 2.0. And I know that was a tricky transition there, but I think things are smoothing out now, right?
Yeah. So let me tell you a little bit about the changes and improvements that we're making on the system. And then we'll talk about some of the partnerships that's going to help facilitate. So yeah, so mid-November, we did a soft launch of the new mypeachpass.com website and the Peach Pass Go 2.0 app. So instead of a full campaign, we just announced that it was coming to our existing customers, And we invited them to download the upgraded apps and share their feedback. So we really wanted them to be early adopters and test drive, if you will, the app. And thanks to their feedback, we've made adjustments to how information is displayed in the app, the type of notifications you see, and I've identified and fixed several bugs. This new app has some really cool features, and so does the website. One, we tried to make it more intuitive. The website, the app, and its layout are simpler to navigate than previous versions, fewer pages to go to, and a lot of the information, if you click on it, you can get more details. It's more secure. That's led to some of the early frustrations, but the reality is with cyber attacks and all that, we wanted to step up the level of security. So the passwords are a little bit longer, but that's just the day and age that we all live in. But the last thing is it's built on common open standards, which means we can do updates more frequently. I think the last app, it was maybe once every 6 months at best. We're rolling out incremental updates every other week right now. So we're really pleased with this app. And that really takes me into what it's going to allow us to do. Today, you can use your Peach Pass in North Carolina and Florida, but we've entered an agreement with Easy Pass. That's the predominant toll system in the Northeast. And by the end of this calendar year 21, you'll be able to use your Peach Pass in up to 17 different states. Any state on the entire eastern seaboard, all the way up to Maine, if there's a toll road, if you have an account, you'll be able to use those, and as far west as Illinois. So we're really excited about that.
And with the new app, you're still, or with the new interface to be able to make adjustments to your account and check rates and ask questions, things like that, is there any different way that, and I don't know this because I just don't have to travel in those lanes very much. Is there any different way, like, do you still have to have the thing stuck up on your dash and it scanned that, or is it now done by license plate? What is it like if somebody's starting on the ground floor and never heard of this?
Yeah, we still encourage people to get a Peach Pass and put the sticker in their window. But yeah, the technology has matured a lot. We have partnerships with other providers, such as a company called Plus Pass, and that's license plate based. So actually, you still get a transponder, but we're also able to read the license plate. And honestly, it is the backup system. A lot of people, we're not the first people they think to call after they replace their windshield, but as long as you keep your license plate information up to date, it'll work. And actually, in Florida, if you drive, they're actually reading the license plate and not the Peach Pass today, but they're upgrading their technology to do both.
And so the best bet is to have both. I'm sorry, Smiley, go ahead.
Yeah, and speaking of the technology, what's your message, Chris, to those who want to cheat the system? I can get in that lane. I won't get caught. Technology's there to get them too, right?
The technology's there to get them too. We send out a lot of violation notices. That's the industry term. I've never liked it. I like to think of these people that were customers. They just didn't know it yet. But we try to work with everybody to go in and get the account. But there's a lot of people who say, I'm never going to use these roadways, but then one day they want to use it. We'd rather you have it and not need it than vice versa. But we're trying to increase the value proposition for our customers. So another partnership we're working with is Hartsfield Airport. And by summer of this year, their new West Parking deck, which I think is going to be their largest deck. If you have a Peach Pass, you'll be able to drive in and park, take your trip, come back, drive out. You'll see the activity show up on your Peach Pass account. You'll never have to pull a ticket. You never have to fumble for that credit card. You're already running late for the flight as it is. And so that's a convenience. We're also talking with Stone Mountain Park. They're looking at if you buy their annual pass, instead of issuing you the sticker, another thing to put up on your windshield, you can enroll your Peach Pass. It won't show up, that charge won't show up on your account, but you don't have to have another sticker. And we'll see. There'll probably be some discounts if you already have a Peach Pass and go to get the annual pass.
But if you want to go flying through the main toll plaza at Stone Mountain Park, if they have an express lane for that, just remember the speed limit is like 25 miles an hour on that 6-lane road around the mountain. You need to use your cruise control there, folks. You are not going to get exempted from any speeding tickets just because you're a Peach Pass user. Okay, just saying. Hasn't happened to me yet, but it's been close. So.
Right. Don't speed through there. But maybe we'll talk to them. Maybe you'll get an extra mulligan when you play the course if you have a Peach Pass. We'll see.
That's a good deal. Especially be good for the FODAC tournament there that they have. The benefits disabled people. Okay. So one last thing, Chris here, and this was something Smilin and I were kind of. We had no idea that there were outside vendors trying to get in on the toll game because let's face it, folks. This stuff is, if you're really against it, and there's nothing wrong with you being against it, you're allowed to be against things, but it's happening not just in Georgia. It's not just Georgia going, hey, when I went to Texas, they had express lanes a couple of years ago. We've seen them a lot of the places. They've appeared a lot of other places first, so it's not just being trial run only here. But so there are outside vendors that obviously are going, hey, I mean, we want to have something that you could use in 16 or 17 states or 50 states. What can you tell people about any outside vendors that the state is working with and maybe some pros and even some cons? And what do you know?
Yes. So I mentioned one. There's a product called – we call it the Pay and Go Peach Pass. We're working with a company called Plus Pass, and you can now go inside Kroger's right up to their customer service desk, also in select CVS and Walgreens, and pick up a kit that has a transponder. And you can put money, cash, just like if you were sending money to Western Union, and just load up that way. So you don't have to have a credit card. You don't have to call in. You can just do it when you're picking up your groceries. That's not meant to be an exclusive. We want to explore other partnerships that will just make it convenient and give people more options to pay. This is all about options. And so there's other companies. We just recently heard about one called GoToll. And looks like what they're doing is they're offering customers in Virginia, North Carolina, and apparently Georgia, so I'm going to reach out to them, where you can set up an account with them, and they'll pay the tolls on your behalf. And that's possible because they're probably setting up what we call a fleet account. But we're going to go ahead and look into those because we want to make sure it's safe and secure for our customers.
Right. And if you're using something from the outside, especially like that, I mean, that third party has got to keep the lights on somehow. So you're going to pay a little bit more anyway to use those lanes. It's not just easy and free. I mean, even if it is secure, probably the cheapest way to do it is to go before you go to a Kroger store, or before any of that stuff, or before the outside, before Silicon Valley gets more involved. Okay. Wherever it is to download the Peach Pass 2.0 app and then you put money into the account, correct? It's not hooked up just to your credit card. You actually have a preset amount you put in there and then keep reloading the account instead of it just charging you by the trip, right?
That's right. And the Peach Passes, we don't charge for those. That initial $20 is your money. If you open an account and you never use it and you close it, you get back $20. We're not charging any fees. So we have, I believe, the most streamlined, the most direct way of doing it. Another third party that's out there are, there's companies who work with rental car companies. But if you have a Peach Pass account, you can temporarily add those plates to your account. You can do it now through the app. Just remember to take it off. Otherwise, the next person who rents that car is going to really, really like you.
I'm sure I'm younger than both of you guys. Long gone are the days, Chris, of pulling up to the toll plaza and chucking in the coins. It's amazing how technology has really advanced to make your system work to the efficiency of what we all need to do right here on our smartphones.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing I didn't hit on, but I want to say we're doing this to either help manage the demand or use of the roadway, the lanes, because we have a lot of congested corridors. But we're also using this to help finance these projects. This toll money is helping to lower the cost of these projects, and by doing so, it helps the entire state accelerate how many different projects we can do at one time. And what's great about the doing that through tolls is it's what we call a user fee. Only those that are riding on those lanes are contributing to those costs. And there's some things that we're working on to continue on that vein and better control the debt associated with these projects.
Right, and they definitely do have to pay for themselves for sure, especially as this goes on through the years. Well, any last things you want to add, Chris, or maybe a last parting message to give to our great listeners of the WSB Traffic Podcast, readers of AJC Gridlock Guy, and listeners of WSB?
Well, just like I was talking about how the traffic troopers help us out, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the great work of our customer service reps. We've manning these call centers day in and day out. And honestly, a lot of people, when they were at home more because of the pandemic, they took the time to call in to do some changes on their accounts, and that's great. But the men and women who are manning those phones as we launch this new website, the men and women who man our walk-up center, which is still open for business, located in Peachtree Center, despite the pandemic, they want to be there to make sure customers got the service that they need. And honestly, we couldn't make this happen without them. And the same is true for the men and women who are operating the express buses. They notice the pandemic. They understand the risk. We are doing lots of safety precautions, but they're there because customers need and want the service.
And I want to make sure and ask one last time. We touched on it a moment ago. There were some things that happened in switching from the old system to the new that people did struggle with, or they struggled with unbeknownst to them, right? Just charges and things like that. Has that stuff been smoothed out? Is there anything for anybody that's starting on the ground floor now wanting to start a new Peach Pass account? Is there anything for them to worry about or anything that they should watch for? And then how do they alleviate that if there's something?
Sure. Well, one, we have on our web page of peachpass.com/system upgrade. So we've tried to be very transparent about any issues as well as what's been resolved. So you can go on there and you can see what's in green or yellow, et cetera. But if you're a new user, honestly, downloading the app and just setting it up is very easy. If you're an existing customer and you haven't logged in, those are some of the customers who had some struggles. You have to now have a valid email address on the account. And if you can't remember what that was because that's now the username, you have to call in because we need to do a reset. And that's been, I think, a large source of the frustration. But no.
I went through some trouble too, just going through a divorce a few years ago and switching cars, and the account was in my name, but the sticker was in another car and all that stuff. So if you have any kind of reset, so to speak, it might be, I called and they were very helpful to me. So just as a personal testimony, yes, your customer service reps do a good job.
Well, thank you so much. The phones have been ringing off the hook. So one of the things we've been trying to do with these upgrades is increase the self-help options. But we're still here. Please feel free to call us. Once we get you through the initial security setup, it's pretty much on autopilot. And the lanes are still there for you. People are using them. We're so grateful for the customers. And we just ask people to mind their speeds, because the one thing that's happened is the rush hours become more unpredictable. You may be able to fly at any speed you want one day, and the next day you may come around that bend and there's gridlock. So please be careful out there.
Well, absolutely. Chris, who do you answer to? Do you answer to the governor?
I do. The governor is the chair of my board, and but we work closely. I answer a lot to the customers, but the governor's there to make sure we have the resources we need to get the job done, and he just stresses a lot of transparency.
Well, Governor Kemp should be very proud to have somebody like you in charge that's able to be as media savvy, podcast savvy, to break this down, because, you know your stuff, and you're able to tell it to our audience and our listeners just how easy it is for them to navigate, and he should be very proud of the gentleman he has in that office.
Well, thank you very much. I truly appreciate that.
Amen to that. We really appreciate you spending so much time to work with us. And there's been a lot to cover, so we went a little over on your allotted time. So we thank you. And we know that you're social media savvy. You can follow Chris Tomlinson on Twitter, I know for sure, because he and I've interacted on there. Is there any other channels, either for the organization or for yourself, you'd like to push to our listeners?
Yeah, we're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. So there's a Peach Pass page on Facebook, but you can follow me on Twitter at Serta CEO. So Serta CEO. And we love to hear from our customers and try to provide information back.
You're very responsive on there. The Peach Pass account, whoever was running that was responsive to people stuck on 75 the other day, trying to tell them, don't worry, it's going to open soon. And we were using that information on the traffic team. And we promise, folks, we're not going to take Chris on any TikTok account and make him floss, okay? That's just, we're not doing that. That is not what this podcast is all about. I don't even know how myself, or do I have TikTok? So there you go. Chris, thank you so much for joining us on a gray Monday morning here in Georgia, but it looks like bright times ahead for Atlanta commuters and for your organization. And thanks to your whole team for making this happen.
Well, thank you, Doug. Thank you, Smile and Mark. Always a pleasure.
Same here, sir.
For sure. Well, for the Serta Executive Director, Chris Tomlinson, and Smile and Mark McKay, after another fatiguing, damp morning drive on the Atlanta roads, and I'm sure I'll have some fun with that myself these next couple of wet afternoons. I'm Doug Fireball Turnbull with Smiley Mark and Chris. We thank you for listening to the WSB Traffic Podcast. Mm-hmm.